Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Greetings and Merry Christmas to all of you. Now, we talked about that last night, if you were able to be with us. Last night, we feasted together on many words of the Word of God, but especially on that from St. Luke. Those words about the nativity of Jesus are most familiar. There is much humanity in Luke's writings. Proper names of real people, Joseph, Mary, Quirinius, real places on the map, Syria, Nazareth, Bethlehem, passionate emotions expressed by those real people, joy, fear, relief. This morning, we feast upon the words of St. John, with less human interest, but just as important. These words of John focus upon the divinity of Jesus. Nothing here about a trip to Bethlehem, no swaddling cloths lying in a manger, or the quaking shepherds in the field. John is focusing on the glory of the person of the Word made flesh. Yet when we reach Christmas Day, it is sad to say, most of that is over in our minds. By the time the last present is opened, we rush to New Year. Not at all interested in the 12 days of Christmas. Today, our sleepy eyes' attention is often focused elsewhere. Another family gathering, a football game, or the sorrow of separation. So here today, we are fewer in number than last night. Some churches have even taken up the custom of not having services on Christmas Day because, as they say, it is a family day after all, and apparently bringing your family to church is not an important activity in those congregations. Today, the hype that strive to get us to jump past the season of Advent seems gone. Christmas tree looks so different in the daylight, its luster just not the same. No longer are we caught up in the hectic countdown that started, well, what seems to be sometime before Halloween now. With much of the motion of last night past, we are better prepared today to deal with the central declaration of the Christian faith, which probably is also the central offense, namely, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God incarnate, enfleshed for you and for me. Sure, we enjoy the nativity counts of Luke with the angelic message to the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. We remember the angelic choir song as it is our hymn of praise, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Why, even the Old Testament prophecies of Isaiah and Micah, we can clearly see that Jesus is the long-promised Savior. Isaiah: therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call His name Emmanuel. And Micah: but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. But the day's text has no cattle lowing, no shepherds, no angelic choirs, not even the mother and the child. Yet for this Christmas morning, we have John's gospel message. It seems as if John assumes his readers already know the important details of Jesus' birth, since John is the last of the gospels written. And for well, Matthew fastens the Christmas story deep in the roots of Israel, as the Holy Spirit guides him to paint a distinctly Jewish picture of Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of David, who started out as a carpenter's son from Nazareth, turned out to be the Messiah, the lawful successor to David's throne, the promised Messiah who saves the world in his dying and rising. And Luke connects the birth narrative in all of world history, but connecting Jesus' birth line all the way back to Adam rather than to David and Abraham to show that the Savior has come for all mankind as he is writing to a more Gentile audience. And yet he is also very interested in the historical facts of Bethlehem, of Judea, when Augustus was Caesar and Quirinius was governor, and the Roman world was undergoing a tax sentence. Luke doesn't highlight the Jewish nature of Jesus as much as he underscores this all-embracing humanity. For Luke, it is important for the readers to see Jesus as the second Adam, the new head, who embraces all the life, all his life and death and resurrection. This is the Jesus who draws close to women, to Gentiles, to the sick and the outcast, those who religious establishment have rejected. And while Mark is often too much in a rush to give us a birth account, John causes us to pause, enables us to take a nice deep breath, and join with Mary in pondering the significance of Jesus' birth. John's simple outline shows us who Jesus is and what he offers. Today we see the common and everyday made extraordinary as the Word becomes flesh and lives among us, bringing us life and light. This is the truest meaning of Christmas. Jesus, true God and true man, comes to dwell among us because we couldn't come to him. The Word that became flesh to dwell among us is our Emmanuel, God with us. He came to know what it is like to be rejected, to be hated, to be hunted. He knows what it is like to be poor, to be hungry, to be tired, and to need rest. He who was there in the beginning, he through whom all things are made, came to bring light into darkness of sin and bring life where only death could abide. And yet he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. We did not receive him because we love the darkness. Our formula of Concord states, in speaking about our will apart from faith, the world estranged from God, spiritually ignorant and blind. The scriptures flatly call natural man a spiritual and divine thing's darkness. That is, in the dark, blind world, which does not know or regard God. Formula of Concord, solid declaration. St. Paul puts it this way. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, for he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And yet in faith, we find comfort in the fact that the same God who created everything in the beginning has now chosen to tabernacle, to dwell amongst us in this New Testament way. Today, in with and under the bread and wine, is the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That which will be sacrificed on a cross for us, that which is our Emmanuel, God with us. Now no pillar of cloud, or pillar of fire. Now no burning bush or thundering voice or still small voice. Now he is a newborn babe found in a manger who as a fully grown adult hangs on a cross to die our death and is our resurrected Savior on the third day. This is why John wastes no time with baby Jesus and quickly brings you John the Baptist's cry, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Word became flesh to dwell among us, to be the Lamb of God, to take away our sins and the sins of the entire world. God still works in this fleshly manner as he brought his message through John the Baptist and John the Evangelist, he still brings his message through your pastors and through each one of us in our life daily as we read his word. God bears witness to his mystery so that all men might believe and be saved through faith in God made flesh. This is our incarnational joy. For through faith, we have seen the glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. His word is that truth. The light overcomes, overpowers the darkness brought by Satan, which is yet in this world, in this fallen creation, and manifests by darkness in us, our spiritual blindness and unbelief, the death in our bodies, our daily deeds in opposition to God's word and his commandments. To this, the light of the world lights up our inherited darkness. At baptism, God adopts you, making you his own. He chose you in Jesus in the beginning. God recreates you in his birth from above. This is what John is proclaiming. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the rights to become the children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This work continues to carry out. This work he continues to carry out for you through his holy absolution and his blessed supper. As you and I take and eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that which is given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. The Word became flesh to dwell among us is right here in our ears and our mouths. As Jesus the Christ is the fleshly remedy to the darkness of our sin. Great is the mystery of our faith and the love of God, that God gave his only begotten Son so that we could have true and full life for all eternity. For as John states it so clearly a few chapters later, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So I can say to you today, with all confidence and certainty, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and God bless. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.